This is the Desperate Mothers Podcast. CJ Watson and the mothers of desperation discuss ongoing work behind the scenes of their sketch comedy channels and the upcoming web series, The Bunny Rabbit Tragedies. Bunny rabbits and vampires and onions living together? Oh my. Check out what these desperate motherfuckers are up to this week.
Okay, so this is a day before Thanksgiving episode of the Desperate Mothers Podcast. I'm CJ Watson.
I'm Beth Sammons.
And I'm Jack Fisher.
And what are we talking about this week?
We're talking about anything and everything that flows through our demented little minds.
Well, I've been busy preparing for Thanksgiving. So it involves cleaning, shopping, cooking.
The typical things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, bird don't cook itself.
Yeah.
Just glad I live in the modern age where I don't have to catch it, kill it myself. Of course, that might be better for me than I would be a skinny Thanksgiving celebrator. Maybe I wouldn't be giving thanks because I probably couldn't catch a bird.
Yeah, I personally doubt my ability to live without even basic modern conveniences. You know, I'm not certain that I could stock and kill my my dinner or raise any vegetables. I mean, I've tried raising plants and I have a very bad track record. So the idea of gardening or farming to support myself is a very, very dismal prospect.
Yeah, I have what I call a black thumb.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, pretty much. Lisa does a little better than I do, but in general, our outside track record with plants is abysmal.
I even tried growing, you know, a marijuana plant in my teenage years, and I think I was the only kid on my block that couldn't do it.
Hey, even my mom.
And
those
are pretty hardy.
I know. Mine just started wilted and died, and then my dealer was like, "Where's the seeds, man?" No, I'm just kidding. Maybe they were pebbles. Maybe I planted pebbles and not seeds. I don't know.
Magic beans. Did you plant magic beans, CJ?
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody traded me a case of Budweiser for a bag of pebbles and told me they were marijuana seeds. Heck did I know.
Well, some kids, when I was in the eighth grade, kids took pencil shavings out of the pencil sharpener and sold it to one of the kids. You have to. That's even stupider than oregano.
Pencil shavings?
Pencil shavings, yes.
Right.
Were they brown?
Well, they would, yeah.
What were they being confused for?
Marijuana. Well, they'd already rolled it. So he bought what he thought was a joint.
Okay.
Filled with, you know, kind of
pencil
plumpy.
Shavings. Okay. Yeah. Well, they're.
So pretty much the same thing that's in every cigarette.
Pretty much, yes. Stems and seeds, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, bugs and bits of human being and cigarettes too, so
filler paper and such.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, at least probably if you were smoking pencil shavings, it's a little better for you than actual cigarettes. I know, I used to smoke them.
Me too. Yeah, the lead in the pencils will kill you a little slower than the
So yeah, getting ready to do a great big turkey feast tomorrow. Been cleaning and shopping and not building the puppet so much.
Now, do you have relatives coming over, family?
Well, we invited my mom and my dad, my brother, my mom and her boyfriend. She just called me, let me know that she's not feeling well. She's not coming. She lives a few towns over in the mountains. So it's quite a trek for her to make it down here to the high desert. but at least the weather's nice for her. I mean, she doesn't have to worry about snow and stuff, unlike the rest of the country.
Yeah.
You know, I think this might be the only place that's not snowing
or getting any moisture whatsoever. We've got a storm moving in, though. It actually might cool down a little bit.
But yeah, and work's been busy because, you know, work this time of year, no one's there, so I can do a lot. So could have taken time off and really got stuff done, but it still requires time off, and that got to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, today was pretty deserted at work today. And I was wishing I was one of those desertees.
Yeah, I got to say, I really do. I mean, yeah, I was able to get a lot of work done. But at the same time, I really felt like, man, I have so much to do. I got to go to the store and deal with the crowds. So I got to do the shopping. I got to do cleaning to have people over. And then I've got this vacuum form machine that's still in the...
It hasn't assembled itself?
It has not assembled itself. You know, but the funny thing is all the parts are right there. They just need to be cut and put together. It's like one of those things where you put all the pieces together and then you go and you wish for it to happen. What was that? Is that like the gift or the secret? Was the wish?
Oh, the secret.
The secret was the wish philosophy of getting things done. Yeah, and I went above and beyond as far as the secret rules go, because I actually got all the parts, put them in the same room, and they still haven't wished themselves together. So I'm not sure if I believe the secret anymore. It sounded really good.
Well, I mean, part of it was, you know, she was talking about through the power of thought, fixing her eyes. You know, she was no longer nearsighted.
That's interesting.
So, I mean, I think some of it, you know, it has some kind of, you know, kind of putting yourself in a mind to...
Now, is this considered a work of fiction? Is it like a inspirational self-help?
It is a self-help philosophy or ideal.
Yeah, I think if you put it in the sense where you're making wishes that you yourself are the only one that can fulfill. Like, you know, if you wish for a new job, then, you know, you're the one that has to go out and do that. I think if you put yourself in the mindset to do that, then it's
I did listen to the whole video movie thing.
Yeah.
And I see where it's coming from. Like, if it's always a focus, it's a mental focus on what you want, you're eventually going to work your way to it.
Yes, exactly. But it's making a wish in your own head.
Yeah.
Well, you're only wishing upon yourself.
Just sounds like meditation. You meditate
on
something, you visualize it, you make it happen.
I gave up after the first 2 weeks because my penis is still the same size. No matter how much I wish. Damn you, secret.
Yeah, and Amy Adams hasn't thrown herself at me yet, so. Evidently there are some things that wishing just doesn't accomplish.
Well,
no matter how hard and long you wish for them.
Well, something like the Amy Adams is, you know, probably somebody more suited and deserving than you is wishing for the same thing. You've got to be the most suited and deserving wishee.
You see, that
wishor.
I don't think that was in the material.
No,
I don't think it mentioned anything about other people deserving what you wish for more than you.
Or maybe there's something about other people wishing against it, and, you know.
Oh, like when I go to work and I wish for people to be unhappy?
Or dead.
Yeah. No.
Or
that's
in pain.
Yeah, that's... No, I just want... No, unhappy.
Okay.
It's more fulfilling.
So I guess I'm
me.
The only evil, ruthless son of a bitch at the table.
No, there's some people that I would like to see hung from their heels out in the public square.
Yeah, but alive. So they would suffer.
Alive when they go up, but not for long.
Yeah. I'm okay with them suffering, but they're...
Deport the people to stupid land. That's what I want.
Yeah,
there should be an island.
Yeah. Sadly, there is. It's called the United States. The British is like, we haven't put them here for like centuries.
I think Australia would be better suited.
Yes, it is. We are effectively one large penal colony.
And then when we got too big for our britches, they found another island and started shipping off their people there. It's funny. I mean, if you're British, you're like, man, we keep making these penal colonies. And the convicts start developing these crazy accents. They didn't talk like that when we sent them there.
Yeah, the inmates overtake the asylum.
They did. Yeah, that's totally happened. I think colloquially we're known as One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and Australia is Two Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So, yeah, fun stuff in the United States. And where it's Thanksgiving.
So speaking of birds. Where does this leave us in terms of beaks?
That's where the secret failed me.
Yeah.
That beak is not self-formed.
Oh yes. I remember the chain now. It was vacuform, needed to assemble itself, and then Kydex needed to arrange itself. And
Yeah. So
and
the secret
so that the elves could come in overnight, much like they did with the cobbler, and assemble your beak.
One of my favorite cartoons. Which, upon rewatching, is enjoyable but not quite as magical as when I was, like, say, 8. And actually, a lot of those silly symphonies, merry melodies, they fall into that category.
Yeah.
Not as magical when you're older, when you're young, you know, when you first see them.
Yeah.
You know, shorts like The Calico Dragon and The Mouse with the song "Sow What You Reap, Reap What You Sow." Remember? Remember the one where the grandpa mouse who's like wheelchair bound and the little brat mouse gets swept up in the harvesting machine? That's called something.
Hmm. It's been so long since I've seen some of those.
But the short bottles, that's still pretty fun. The one where the chemist falls asleep, mm-hmm. and he dreams that all the bottles on a shelf come to life. He shrunk down real small, and he runs through, and he gets sucked through the bottles and the distiller, and that's really kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I always like the ones where like the labels would come to life. I think there's one or two like in the pantry. Mm-hmm. We may even be thinking about the same one.
I always get that confused. I don't know if that was UB Works. You know, the ex-Disney guy or someone else. I totally forget. I'm terrible with names. This podcast should be called CJ Looks Up Stuff and Then Talks About It. Because I'll never remember a name. But are you familiar with that? All those shorts?
I've probably seen them.
You could probably pick up any Merry Melodies, Silly Symphonies DVD and see all of the ones that I think about or talk about. And it's this kind of stuff that really propelled me to go into animation, at least in school. Mm. Not in the real world. Paycheck propelled me not to do that.
Most of my memories center around sci-fi.
Not so much with the sci-fi cartoons. You ever really notice that?
Yeah, there's definitely a dearth of sci-fi cartoons.
Not from the 20s and 30s. For the 20s and 30s, there's nothing. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Well, sci-fi wasn't really,
get the occasional, like, somebody goes to space.
Yeah, like the one, you know, one of the first films made was where he goes to the moon.
Yeah.
Know, the rocket sticking.
Yeah. Was that like 13 minutes long? It's super short. It's a ripoff. I don't ask for my money back. This is not 90 minutes. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well,
let alone for the fact that the standard movie format hadn't been created yet.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, it kind of helped create the movie format.
Well, what was it? It was the most hated movie in film history was largely responsible for creating the movie format in the way that we know it.
Birth of a Nation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the story that, you know, the film that tells a story, follows the characters along, and has, you know, conflict, resolution.
That thing was like 3 hours long.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it had to tell the story of the entire birth of the nation.
Yeah.
And the heroic rise of the Ku Klux Klan. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, you see some of that. Because I used to read a lot about short films, silent films, a lot of which have just been lost to the ages because of the film stock.
Mm-hmm.
But before the Hays Commission, you know, there was nudity, people's heads being carried on pikes by naked women, you know, just, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that did a whole lot to repress America through film. America's been repressed through film for many, many decades now. We were getting out there for a while. I mean, we had porn. way, way back. It was in danger of being mainstream from the early days of silent films.
Well, I mean, if you give humans a way of preserving visual events,
somebody's going to make porn.
Somebody's going to make porn.
Yeah, you know, I'm really disappointed by the lack of porn pictures in places like the Lascaux Caves. I would think you would at least get one picture of a vagina. Be like, what's the flower? The lilies? Lilies? The ones that look like vaginas? Lilies?
Orchids?
Orchids?
Orchids.
You know?
Yeah, I think it was George Keefe was doing orchids.
And I expect to see stuff like that. Or
a
like,
stick figure with two big round circles in the front and two little circles in the middle of those.
Yeah. You know, I want archaeologists going through caves going, man, I didn't know they had tacos 20,000 BC.
Are there not?
That's not a taco.
Are there not enough stone penises in Egyptian and Roman excavations for you?
It just means going back to the farthest reaches and beginnings of humankind, the only people drawing pictures were gay.
Well, no. They were.
I think
they
sex
were
was
hungry
so
and
readily available that you didn't.
You didn't need to fantasize about it because you can just go rape the cave woman next door.
Possibly. Hey, if
pull a Bill Cosby on her.
Hey, Clan of Cave Bear talks about that.
Yeah, yeah. One of the most uncomfortable and kind of erotic scenes with Daryl Hannah was like, man, she's getting it from behind. Why am I not turned on by this? I mean, well, because you're not Bill Cosby. No, she's awake, so that wouldn't even do it for him.
Yeah, the...
I'm just kidding. The Cosby thing is just... It's out there. I mean, you don't know who to believe. I mean, I heard it today. Someone expressed the idea that what does he have to gain? Or what do the women have to gain by...
The statute of limitations is...
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's just like, let's sabotage somebody or...
What? So, yeah, the... Not that I defend behavior like that, but, I mean, why now?
I think because sometimes it just takes one or two to come forward. You know, just one woman to be brave, and so the other women know they're not...
The only one? Like, maybe he squashed these one at a time, and they didn't feel that... They didn't get that strength from feeding off each other that social media gives us now.
Mm-hmm. So do you think it's the advent of social media that
I think everybody believes it's the advent of social media.
The victims to connect and to realize that...
And get support, outside support.
You know, that this wasn't an isolated thing. And
yeah, someone even told me that Kirk Cameron came out and said that Pudding Pops raped him. I'm just kidding.
Now,
what Kirk does with Pudding Pops is up to...
He's a whole different, you know... He's one of those... He thinks he does protest too much. Like Putin. I think Putin was touched inappropriately when he was a kid. I think that's why... But that's a whole
thing. I think he still likes inappropriate touching.
Yeah.
I think
he's got a dungeon someplace.
No, I think
Putin.
I think Putin is
it's
the biggest homosexual
the
on the planet.
I think so too.
And,
really?
He's definitely gay as hell. I mean, he
rides a horse without a shirt on.
Yeah, he asserts himself way too much to be anything but the pitcher.
Huh. I never even really thought about it. Now, there's a couple of websites that were reporting that Kirk Cameron filed sexual abuse case against Bill Cosby.
Really?
Are they? And I'm like, you know, Kirk, I don't care how pretty you think you are. I don't think Bill would ever confuse you for a girl.
No, he liked, you know, from the sound of it, Cosby liked comatose women. So he was, you know... Almost like a necrophiliac. He just liked them warm.
Yeah, there are guys into the sleep thing. You know, not me, not so much. you know, because if I'm going to be... I mean, sex is a humiliating experience, and I don't want to be the only one humiliated. I want someone there to share the humiliation with me. We're both here. Things have gone wrong for us. Be sad with me. It's like misery loves company. My sex always ends with crying. Usually it's me. No, I mean, I just don't get the whole sleep fetish.
Yeah, well, there's, you of all people know that that's probably one of the more tame fetishes.
I've always found it an extra creepy fetish. I've seen a lot of sleep videos.
Now, there was a movie, mainstream movie, a couple of years ago. I want to say it was called Sleeping Beauty.
Yes, with the girl from Emily Brown.
Emily Browning.
Browning, thank you.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
What did you think?
It was very odd. I've seen few scenes of it a whole lot of times. There's a couple scenes I watched.
I've wanted to watch the movie, but I don't know. It is
bizarro. It is very, I don't know. It's like if it's 9.5 weeks, if it were creepy and about sleeping. So it's not like 9.5 weeks at all. See, sometimes I say stuff like that and people just look at me. Doesn't translate well on the podcast.
Well, see, unfortunately,
we need cricket noises when I say stuff like that.
Unfortunately, I think that there's too many guys out there that are okay with the sleeping thing. They're called frat brothers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a... It isn't one of the frats, like one of those nationwide frats, like...
Being suspended and investigated.
Well, yeah, UVA, because there was an article in the in Rolling Stone about a woman who was gang raped. And the thing was is that then the students were just suspended.
Yeah. Yeah, fraternities should just be honest with their frat names. They should just arrange their Greek letters. So we'll say stuff like IATA, Rufi, U, or, you know.
Well, there was one frat got suspended because they had T-shirts that said, no means yes, yes means anal.
Oh, yeah. Was that a funny shirt or instructions? Oh,
they thought that was funny.
They thought that was funny?
They were amused with themselves.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it's probably what the frat brothers, that's probably a hazing week shirt. And it's not meant for girls. It's meant for new recruits. It's for pledges.
Well, see,
no means yes. Yes means anal.
And you know, and I
yes, sir.
I
may I have another?
Get the business into the paddle.
Wow, why is this ridged on the handle for your pleasure, pledge?
Well, and I don't want to get into victim blaming, but I think what needs to happen is that girls need to stop going to these parties.
Well, then that. That's like saying girls need to give up a significant portion of the social aspect of white privileged four-year university attendance.
Is hoping your future husband will rape you at a frat party?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe maybe when you're pulling the train, the conductor will take you home, hose you down, present you to mommy. You know, is that a doctor? Not yet. What? That doesn't mean anything. That's not even funny.
Cricket noise.
You know, I think we can make that happen.
Pretty. I'm not a doctor, and this is not my stethoscope. Why is it probing me? Oh, shut up, pledge. You'll be a member soon. Yeah, you know what, the whole girl roofie thing, I mean, insecure frat boys are going to do
well. It's also groupthink. It's boys, you know, that kind of in quotes boys being boys, but it's boys egging other boys on,
right
and it's boys putting up with that kind of behavior.
Like you wouldn't normally, you doing things they wouldn't normally do because now they're in a group of people that are saying, mm-hmm. this is cool, we should do this. You know, it's like when you get a bunch of nerds together and they have like a meeting arranged and they all decide that they're going to talk about the same thing. So maybe dress up.
and then pretty soon, you know, you have a group of Trekkies, you know.
And you have conventions. Jack's over there with the cricket thing, waiting for he's waiting for the clunker to come out.
So you have to play it first to make sure it makes the right noise. Yeah, that works. See, you need a sampling machine. Then pretty soon it'll be like you're a disc jockey in here.
Yeah, I get the full setup where it sounds like a morning talk show.
Right, yeah. Harry Shearer always did those really well.
Yeah. So that would be not good. I mean, I could always add it in. In post. crickets, get your crickets. So, no, the Cosby thing is kind of sad. Everyone called him, you know, he's America's dad, right?
Well, what made me mad is... and just in kind of a personal thing, is a while back I was talking to somebody who was using the N-word over and over, and all black people were N-words. And I'm like, not all of them. I'm like, what about Bill Cosby? Well, yeah, he is too. Damn it, Bill. Here I was trying to hold you up as a paragon and say, no, you know.
Yeah. When did they start spelling rapist with an N? Jack's looking for the crickets.
Rim shot.
No, but I've always been a fan. I mean, Bill Cosby's comedy was like...
Yeah, his comedy was absolutely funny. You know, we were all...
Brilliant storyteller. Mm-hmm. Very personable.
We all grew up on The Cosby Show.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently some people faster than others. I don't know. Jury's out, of course. I mean, you can't...
There's not going to be a jury because...
Yeah, and that's another tough thing. That's why it's going to be like a really hard thing for America to digest.
But see, but the thing is that look how often America's forgiven, been willing to forgive rapists.
Well, yeah, especially when
even really liberal Hollywood is okay with Roman Polanski. I mean, he can't come back into the United States. But he drugged and raped a young girl.
See, there's a different... I mean, I'm a Roman Polanski fan. I think we're all familiar with the story. If you're not, you have Wikipedia. Because that always gives you the truth.
Yeah. No, there's other... I mean, because there was... I think she even wrote a book, but there was an article in Vanity Fair.
And it goes back to ultimately, you know, a minor cannot consent. A minor cannot consent. Even though the minor consented at the time... Somewhat under pressure
and under the influence.
Yeah, yeah, but by the mother, mm-hmm. you know, who is equally at fault.
Well, I mean, she was drunk and she had been drugged.
Yeah, no, I'm aware, but that's the way that's the way marriage and love works in Europe. So Roman was just doing things the way he was taught. I think that was the hidden scene in Romeo and Juliet we didn't get. Because Romeo was like 50 and Juliet was 12.
No, they were both teenagers.
And I think I watched the wrong movie. Was there donkey sex in that one?
You're thinking of Midsummer Night's Dream. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Shakespeare, he's a twisted perv. No, it's tough. It's tough. And it was the early 70s. They didn't have the social media. People can get away with things. And there's a privilege
Woody
that...
Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, he's accused by his own adopted daughter. And
that he married?
No.
Oh, the other one?
The other one, yeah. Actually, she was his stepdaughter, because she was actually Mia Farrow's adopted daughter. I don't think that he ever... Because that's why Sun Yi... because she was Mia Farrow's adopted daughter.
Right.
Mia Farrow adopted a bunch of kids and then married Woody Allen.
And then Woody worked his way through the kids.
The girls, yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, one, the kind of mutating the privilege of being a successful Hollywood persona gives you.
Or an athlete.
Yeah. Yeah, when you were surrounded by yes people, and you're surrounded by probably some of the most powerful people, you're really famous, but you're surrounded by some of the most powerful people in entertainment business, law, the hangers-on, and they're telling you every day that everything you do or say is gold, and everything you do or say is right. You know, my paycheck happens because of your greatness, so I'm never going to tell you nothing. I'm never going to tell you you're wrong.
It happens with high school football players.
Yeah. So then athletes. You think, man, it's okay if I just, you know, do this little perverted thing to this person who kind of likes me anyway, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. You know, you start getting that perverted thought like that, and then it's like, well, I didn't really kill anybody. No, but you're a little twisted, and you needed people to, like, ground you. Not everything you say is gold. Not everything you do is righteous. It's just, you know, sometimes you're getting a little out there and you need to be reined back in. And so you get that in Hollywood all the time. And, you know, in Roman Polanski's case, what he did is not so far away from the old world Europe that he came from.
But if, I mean, it
doesn't make it right, just...
And if he, but if he had just done his time, because he was found guilty, so
it was,
whether...
It was a nominal amount of time. He could have been over it,
and then everybody would have said, oh well, he served his time.
Yeah, he admitted he did something wrong.
Yeah, so it's not like he ran, you know, and was never convicted. He was convicted of the crime.
And they said, come back, you're going to get sentenced, and it's probably going to be a slap on the wrist, 3 years with X amount.
Credit for time served.
Yeah. He was seriously looking at not even a year or so, and then he's just like, see ya, crazy U.S. And then now, you know, he wants, after all this time, this tremendously great career, a fine artist that he is, but, you know, he still can't set foot in the United States because we are harsher on that whole thing now. I mean, you know, we're going to throw as much of the book at him as possible because that doesn't fly anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be Jerry Lee Lewis marrying your underage cousin. What a jump. There you go. But yeah, I mean, unless you're the guy from Saving Private Ryan?
Which one from?
I don't remember that part.
What's the crime?
The guy who marries a 16-year-old girl and she's all like crazy.
Oh, no. He's from The Green Mile.
The Green Mile.
Yeah, because remember, he was the one that didn't put the water on.
Oh yeah, so he would burn.
The creepy little guy,
guard. Yeah, he got the parents' permission and married a 16-year-old girl.
I'm not even really sure. Courtney Stoddard is her name.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Now I know what the hell you're talking about.
But yeah, her and her mom were always also whack jobs, you know, anything to be famous, and so.
Yeah, so they just find somebody who was in a big movie, and.
I think they more took advantage of him than he took advantage of her.
Yeah, it's just only a matter of time before, like, he falls and breaks a hip, and they leave him for someone younger. Because I think he's, like, 55 now.
Something like that, yeah.
And she's 20? Is she 20?
I'm not even convinced she was actually that young when he married her. She didn't look that young.
She is 20 now. Yeah.
She wanted to be like the next Angelique.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, she's beautiful, but she's still young. She's a young person who just got a movie star's fuck ton of surgery and took a pretty teenage girl face and body and made it like a perfect plastic surgeon teenage girl face and body.
Oh, well, how many times have we seen that?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, Courtney Cox isn't even pretty anymore. I don't know what she did to her cheeks.
Well, Lindsay Lohan's far gone.
Yeah.
That doesn't look like the same person anymore.
Amanda Bynes.
Well, she's straight up crazy.
She's just, I think she had a psychotic break because they say it's usually in your early 20s when, you know, if you're going to
be nuts, you're going to be nuts. And it's going to manifest post
post-adolescence.
Adolescence, yeah. So, yeah, her brain got old and couldn't take it. Stopped being cute little kid stuff and started being scary. But she's kind of psychotic. She is psychotic. You know, she's wishing violent things and stuff. So it's just a matter of time before, if she doesn't get help, she's going to act out in a violent way, either against someone or herself.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would have preferred she go the Courtney Stoddard route and just, like, put giant airbags in her breasts.
And marry old guys.
You know, I'm really down with that second one. Girls, if you're a post-adolescence and you're having a breakdown, marry old guys. We usually have good jobs.
We can support you in your plastic surgery habits.
Yeah, and if you want to, like, you know, jump on board and man a puppet, I can make your
puppeteering dreams come true. Yeah.
You can, your voice can be a star.
I think at this point we're back to talking about the show.
That took a while to come away.
bunny rabbits and owls and vampires and stuff like that.
Yeah, like I said, I'm working on the sewing part, but we've been slow this week because of the Turkey Day festivities. A little bit more with the writing. That can happen sometimes at work, so that's nice. I mean, not at work, at breaks and lunch. Who am I kidding? Nobody listens to this. Nobody has emailed me at desperatemothers.net. Anything at desperatemothers.net. Seriously, I got a catch-all on that. In fact, I know no one's listening because I'm not even getting any spam at that address. So seriously, you can address it at anything at desperatemothers.net. Write me a message. I'll say your name on the air.
Actually, I'm surprised you're not getting angry email from people that were looking for a completely different kind of site.
Yeah, you know, single moms who need help for the holidays. I was going for that.
Or single mom who's willing to do anything for her landlord to just get one more month's worth of rent.
Right, it's really a secret cam site. Send in your audition reel and we'll see if we got a spot for you on the show. No, nothing, no one. Downloads happening, but I'm not sure who they are. But I was working on a few sketches, trying to repurpose some scripts for other things this week when I had some downtime and I was away from the studio, so I couldn't sew. So all I can do is write. I've got a few funny sketches. And we're going to be hosted. Going to do like a PSA. PSAs.
Mm-hmm. Public service announcements.
Yeah. We're going to do some PSAs. The thing is, I wanted to have a host character, come up with a host character. But not so much with somebody wanting, you know, finding that host person who's going to, like, be the face of the PSAs. And I don't know, I didn't think of this sooner, but I'm going to have Dr. Malarkey host the PSAs. So the puppet.
Yeah.
The one, the first iteration of the show and this whole puppet nonsense started because I was working on a sketch show called The Mad Science of Dr. Malarkey, and every week he would come up with a new experiment based on some crazy idea or some internet fallacy and then try to prove that it works. I didn't run with it because it would require me every week making new props and new puppets.
And who's got Mythbusters kind of time?
Yeah.
Do you have a functioning and complete Dr. Malarkey puppet?
I have, no. I have two foam skulls for Dr. Malarkey, two for his assistant Thursday, and the patterns that I created for his skin. But they're in the other room. They didn't go beyond that, but Dr. Malarkey was almost a actual human head-sized puppet so that he can interact better with a human and not look like super small.
Like a Muppet?
Yeah, yeah. So his head is roughly our same size as our head. So he can interact on screen with humans. And I like the idea, but mostly I didn't want to interact with humans originally too much because I really hate when a puppet and a human. I know everyone loves Sesame Street and I love the Muppet Show and everything, but for some, and if you're doing a human puppet and a human puppet is interacting with a human being, for me, it kills that suspension of disbelief, you know? And I don't know if it's the same for everybody. It's obviously not the same for everybody because...
Well, I think with Sesame Street and the Muppets, since they are basically the same thing, is that it's also, you grew up watching it.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you were six, you thought, you know, you kind of knew Kermit was a puppet, but you were willing to believe that he wasn't.
Well, when you're six, you wanted your stuffed animals to come to life. Mm-hmm.
Well, mine did.
Because his mom gave him powerful hallucinogens to try to get him to sleep.
Well, I grew up Pentecostal. I think that was part of the, that was in the Kool-Aid.
So your stuffed animals spoke in tongues?
No. They weren't into the religious thing. When I got home.
Did you have another stuffed animal that was able to interpret the tongues at the...
No, they all spoke English and stuff. Okay. Our stuffed animals, they had distinct personalities and stuff. And, you know, sometimes it's fun to think of them talking, but sometimes you just have to talk for them. You know, and I do it for my dogs and cats. I know we all do it for our animals, right? Yeah. I mean, you're like, you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, 8 or 10, you want some treats? It's like, oh, yeah, sure, Daddy, I love some treats. My cat doesn't talk like that. I make fun of him, and he gets mad at me. It's like, don't talk like that. I think my little orange tabby's got like a really deep, rich baritone, kind of like a black man voice. It's like, yes, Daddy, I'd like me some tasty treats.
You know why? It's because he looks like Rick Astley.
Yeah. So, so when I make up stories like, oh, yes, Daddy, I want some treats. Give me some treats. I love that. Oh, yeah. My wife looks at me like I'm nuts. And then my cat starts saying, don't talk for me. I'm not talking. And then we just digress
don't
from
put
there.
Words in my mouth.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not even saying this right now. Yeah, it's disturbing. My wife walks away. And she shakes her head a lot.
I don't think it's limited to your wife.
No, I don't think so either.
I think it's co-workers, strangers that you just met, friends.
Though I think she does do it more than anybody else.
I think that's just a matter of proximity.
I think so too, but...
Yeah, at work, people do the same thing. Poor Adam. He sits closest to me. Everything we talk about here, he probably hears 8 times a day. Like, oh, I got a problem to go take care of. I can't listen to you anymore, CJ. You just keep that stuff to yourself. I don't care what your cat's thinking today. So. So, yeah, making up the voices and stuff. It's just, I don't know how many people live in my head. It's a lot.
It's like Herman's head in there.
Yeah, this is my neutral voice. I'm so bad at voices that this is also the voice for like 45 different characters.
No, you know what it is? All bunnies sound the same.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Even the women.
Even the women.
Even the girl bunnies. It's just the bunny voice.
Yeah, poor bunnies. Some of them, there's that effect you get. It's the Marlon Brando effect. You chomp on it. You eat like half a carrot. And you stuff it in your cheeks. So you can get that Godfather kind of. That's Ward.
I was wondering whether you're going to go with stuffing butter in cheeks, but no.
Marlon Brando did that too?
I thought it was cotton balls. But he also did that to whiten his face.
I thought he stuffed hamsters in his cheeks.
No, hamsters. Oh, no, that's gerbils. Never mind.
Gerbils. It was gerbils and not the cheeks on his face.
Poor Richard Gere. Because those of us of a certain age will always giggle if you say gerbil.
Yeah.
Even if we try and act adult, like adult and don't in their head.
Well, this is California. You can't get gerbils. Can you?
No. I wouldn't. No, we think so.
I've never seen a gerbil in any place other than a sex shop.
I don't know. I don't look for rodents because I have a terrier. And
he gets them first.
Twice I've had to pull a glue trap off of his face because there was a mouse on it and he went for the mouse. Twice.
Did he eat the mouse?
Well, the mouse was... No, because he never eats them. He's killed plenty of mice. He just kills them. So he was trying to kill the mouse because...
It was alive on the trap.
Yeah, these poor things are alive.
And he's like, I have to bite this thing. This thing needs to be bitten. It needs to stop moving. And then it's connected to a glue trap, and then the glue trap connected to his face.
Yes.
So the mouse is not moving when you pull it off, right?
No, it is. They're looking at you.
So he hasn't done his job of stopping the mouse from moving because he's surprised by the glue trap on his face. The mouse doesn't bother me, but this glue trap is bugging the hell out of me. Yes. Oh.
I have to pull all his whiskers out.
Oh, do the whiskers come out? Isn't there something you can pour oil or something on the glue trap?
If you do it slow enough, it will come off.
Yeah. Okay. So getting back to the PSAs, I had a few written and I wanted people to act in them. And I need actors for them, but the recurring host, it seems, it should have been obvious that it should have been the puppet character, Dr. Malarkey, because then it could be recurring.
And then you could control that recurring.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about anyone hosting him. You know, and it could be just another one of his projects. You know, Dr. Malarkey, he lives in the basement, he's creepy guy with the school children in the neighborhood have devised a theme song around him being crazy and creepy and living in his basement.
Well, you know, since everybody has does a blog or a
then that's the deal. The whole Dr. Malarkey series is his video blog. You know, it's Dr. Malarkey's vlog and his ideas, you know. So this week on Malarkey's journal, you're going to have this episode, and he has this idea. Mm-hmm. But what I found out from making all of these puppets, or making the first four basic puppets, and then working with the different fleece, you know, the Antron fleece, which is what they use for the Muppets, mm-hmm. and buying that stuff. And when I was working on this, I was out of work at the time. You know, I lost my main job, and I was working at the computer store, so... You know, you're just hustling, working, and you. When it comes time to like buy a couple yards of fleece from some place, and that's running $75, it's a lot of money. It hurts at the time, and I'm thinking, geez, and I'm gonna have to make new puppets and new props for every episode because you know, this one, Dr. Malarkey's experiment with cloning, requires four copies of Thursday, and this one where Dr. Malarkey is playing with the internet, or he creates a new robot, that's me creating a new puppet. Mm-hmm. So those kind of things, once I started writing the scripts out, I realized I can't afford this show. So, I mean, there's no way I'm making 2, 4, 5 puppets a week, props on top of that, and then a living set, you know, because if he's going to do a video blog from a set, he's going to have a basement where we shoot from. He's going to have his mad scientist basement lab, and that's got to exist somewhere, or I have to recreate it for every episode.
Right.
So it should exist somewhere. So now I need dedicated space and all this craziness, and it was a grand idea that I couldn't.
But you had to kind of scale back to nothing for a while.
I did, because I don't like green screen. I don't like computer effects. They're great when you have a lot of money. They are horrible when you have no money.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
No matter how skilled you are, I mean, even the best VFX artist will tell you it takes a lot of money to create really good effects. Otherwise, you want short effects that don't get a lot of screen time.
Well, and there is actually more call for practical effects anyway, you know, because people are kind of getting, you know, unless you're doing Guardians of the Galaxy, if it can be done using practical effects, you know, like The Walking Dead, I think they use CGI for very little, and most of it's for blood spurt.
The blood, and the blood looks, and the blood splatters largely look terrible when they're CGI's. You know, I have noticed a lot more rubber effects on The Walking Dead, a lot more stringy zombie, a lot of the old-fashioned cheap Romero-type effects, and it does look cheap and bad, especially when you're so used to the high-end special effects. And I know The Walking Dead's making more money than ever, but why are they going cheap now?
Because the more money you make, the more your management cuts back.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. But, yeah, I was watching an episode of Walking Dead the other night, and one zombie bites a human in the face, and it looked like someone just, like, poured the contents of a blood packet over the screaming person, and looked like the zombie on his nose, like a dog with a bone just shaking, like someone was shaking. It just looked horrible. It was one of the worst effects I've seen on the show. You know, and it's a show that has pretty small location shoots, you know, few location shoots.
Mm-hmm.
So you think they'd be able to do a little bit better on the special effects budget, since they're not running around like cordoning off city streets to do their shooting. It looks like they're shooting largely in abandoned towns. I think they're shooting the whole series in like Detroit.
No, they're in Georgia.
No, because...
Oh, yeah.
I think that was time for the crickets.
It took me a second. It was like out of my mouth when I realized what you were saying.
You know?
So, but hey, because they're doing a spinoff. Maybe that's where the spinoff will be. Is
in Detroit.
Or someplace that Detroit can...
In a real ghost town. I mean, mm-hmm. Like there's real ghost towns in America. This Great Depression that no one ever wants to call it has been harder. This new recession, the Great Recession.
It's because manufacturing is leaving, so a lot of towns that were built on manufacturing.
It's tough. America is trying to... we're never going to get manufacturing back unless things change.
Or too busy trying to appease the 1%.
Jack's been quiet over there. He's taking notes. Well, it's really tough. I mean, figuring out how to appease the 1%. Unless you're Bill Cosby. Then you know what it takes.
So, getting back to, because I'm sitting here looking at a bunch of puppets, what about the sets? Are we on, I mean... Because I know last time I talked to you, we were talking about trees and leaves, and I just...
Yeah, see, we want to build 4 flats that go right behind you, across mm-hmm. the length of the studio, for the furthest back.
Well, have you drawn out your set designs?
Well, the flats are easy enough.
But your set designs...
But the trees and the branches and stuff, somewhere. It's not in the ether.
Mm-hmm.
That's not in any cohesive place that I can like give you a copy.
Well, I mean, we still need to buy leaves.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, we can make branches all day long. We can make tree trunks, paper mache, movie mud, monster mud.
It's just finding sufficient fake trees to rip apart.
Yeah, the leaves. If the leaves aren't believable, then the trees won't be believable. You know, we really could harvest leaves and put on the trees. The thing is, they'll just get brittle over time and fall off.
And then there's not going to be a cohesion to them unless you're taking all from one tree.
Right. Yeah, we're going to have to, like, go to some fake tree plant stores and surreptitiously remove leaves.
Oh, I'm just thinking of buying them at garage sales and thrift stores.
Make the motion. Like when the salesman's not looking, you take out your shears and you cut a few leaves off the branch and you pocket them into your jacket. Like, what are you doing? Nothing? Nothing? I'm not doing anything at all. Is that tree have fewer leaves? No, it looks perfectly fine. I mean, just not my color.
No, I was just thinking buying them used.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. It's just, it's tough to find a lot of them. You know, we need to find some place that some Goodwill store. We need to find a community of fake tree enthusiasts wherever those people live, and then hit their Goodwill.
Well, yeah, the Goodwill and the secondhand stores, those are an excellent source of props in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and materials, you know, not every leaf has to match. You know, if we get just a bunch of leaves in the background, that's fine. You know, the foreground ones.
Yeah, you need depth.
Yeah, you need the depth. You need the depth. The flats are to provide the final level of depth. Then we have the branches, leaves in the mid-ground, foreground stuff. Just, the foreground, mid-ground stuff, they really need to match. So stuff we need to work on. And we need to probably have a regular work day set up, you know. Which for me, it's going to have to be one of the weekends, because.
Mm-hmm. Well, Saturdays, I mean, I have like a chunk in the afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. And talking with Brian, when we had Brian, and I like to bring Brian into the podcast when he has time, but, you know, his job keeps him fairly busy too. And he's a really a talented builder, and I've had him over to the studio, and we've talked about working on stuff, and he's kind of excited about it because he wants to transition away from what he's doing into. He likes to make costumes. He likes to do armor building. He's done his Iron Man costumes, and he's done complex puppets too. So he tends to work in stiff materials, hard materials, whereas I work a lot with, you know, fabric and foam and softer things. I think where we kind of come together is my extensive work with paper mache and then the sculptures. So I think that's where we have common ground, and then we can help each other where the ground's not so common, you know. So that was really exciting to have him over. It's just I have to have regular days that we're getting to do stuff. That way I can tell him, hey, if you can make time, come over and help out. And then, you know, because we got to get the basics up so we can get these first few episodes shot. Because the deadline's coming up real quick for episode one.
Well, the flats are a good place to start.
Yeah. This weekend's going to be good for
well,
me.
Well, yeah. Well, I could probably come over on Saturday.
I might be able to throw you a bone on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, sometime, like, between 1 and 4, I'm pretty wide open.
Yeah, I'm pretty wide open. Saturday? The day.
Now, sometime this weekend, I'm looking to get out and go see the big blockbuster release.
That would be
Catching Fire.
Oh, saw that.
You've seen it already?
Mockingjay? Yes.
Or yeah,
Mockingjay Part 1.
The sequel to Catching Fire.
Yeah, yeah. We went to see that.
Bastard.
Days ago. Sunday, I think.
Yeah.
We went Sunday night with friends. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Love
me some Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, yeah, I do. Was a good movie. It was a tough movie. If you read the stuff, this was the tough movie. This was the slog.
Well, yeah, they said that the reviews I've been reading, and this was even before the movie came out, and by reviews who hadn't seen it, were just talking about for it to be successful, this is what it is, that part one needs to be the character development and mm-hmm. getting us to the point, and part two is all battle.
Yeah, what this movie had to do was a slog, no matter which way you look at it. I mean, if it wasn't, then it would have been positively comedic. If they would have gave it more action, it could have erred on the side of comedy. I don't. Have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen it, but I've read the book.
You read the book, yeah, yeah. You then you could probably imagine that it could go terribly awry if they try to spice it up and make it more.
Yeah, there's a little bit of action.
Now,
but
despite the fact that it's not a action-packed film, it still had a really, really good opening weekend. I mean, it was like
Well, there was action, and I mean, it is the big series.
It has a built-in audience, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It is like The Hobbit for girls.
Yeah, but we're like talking.
It's like Twilight big.
Yeah, it's Twilight big.
We're talking like within the top 10 openings weekends and internationally within the top 10.
Well, it's like Twilight big.
Yeah.
But this has captured the boys will go see it too.
This is, well, it's because of the action, because of the fighting.
And everybody loves J-Law.
It's true. She's a beautiful woman. She's really young.
I can't believe I don't own American Hustle on Blu-ray.
Well, sounds
like... Have you seen Winterbone yet?
No.
Oh, my God, you need to see that. That was her first big one. That was the one she was nominated for.
Sounds like an item on your Santa's wish list. Dear Santa, please send me everything Jennifer Lawrence ever done. P.S. And a pair of her underpants.
I want a winter bone.
One word or two?
Two.
Yeah, the Blu-ray is quite affordable now.
Yeah, because it's an older movie. I mean, it probably went up a bit because, you know, there's some demand for it now, but it
cost more like last year. I think it was released on Blu-ray last year. It was DVD before that.
But yeah, no, it's really good.
No, I do like Jennifer Lawrence. I'm surprised still that she's as popular as she is, because she looked a little weird.
She's not. I mean, yeah, she does have kind of a, you know, because she has quite white cheekbones.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what it is, and I think a big part of it is because she's so personable.
It's got to be it, because
want to be friends with her. Boys want to, you know.
And she plays the anti-Hollywood card so much, which is ridiculous, since before she got big, there's a ton of her, like, pre-Hollywood star photos where she's doing model work and glamour stuff and sexy stuff. I mean, she can come down all she wants on the Hollywood portraying her as an unattainable body type, but she built her career on that. She got her roles. She didn't get her role in the X-Men because she wasn't sexy.
Oh, yeah, because she's playing Mystique.
Right. So, you know, she can come down as hard on it all she wants. And it's just hypocritic because she's a sexy woman. She played up the sex. She got the sexy role. Now she's famous and she's saying, oh, no, other people don't need to be like me. Well, yeah, other people don't need to be like me. If I did something that got me super famous, I'm going to say, don't do that. I don't want any competition. You know, it's like.
But it's also try, you know, because people know she's gotten to a point where girls look up to her. And right. So she's also, there is a bit of a.
She has a responsibility to her fans.
Yeah. To tell 12-year-old little girls, don't starve yourself trying to look like me.
Yeah, but I do think that's hypocritic.
Yeah.
We're all hypocritical.
Call it what you want.
But saying that has made her a media darling. And that's ridiculous.
That's a good publicist. Publicist.
My duplicitous publicist.
That actually should be a word.
Publicist.
I mean, it's a good thing. It's like when people come out against things they don't not really against, you know? Like, I know.
Well, it's like when your parents told you don't have underage sex.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
What are the kind of sex you're going to have when you're underage? I get it. It can make you, it could help. It's like when the NFLers come out, you know, they get the anti the violence against women campaigns right now. And you're just like, you see some of these guys and they just scream roid rage. They're just like, I'm afraid to say anything because they'll come after me, but I'm not buying that these guys are totally legit with the whole I don't believe in violence against women thing. Mm-hmm. I think some of them do.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean.
But I just don't think that every one of them they got there is like, I've never hit my significant other or some jackass in the stands. You know?
Mm-hmm.
The No More campaign. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And No More, I'll say something next time. Are you kidding? If a guy looked like you was hitting this woman, I'd be like, I didn't see nothing. I'm just going away.
You might, you know, dial your cell phone when you thought you were far enough away that he couldn't see you.
Yeah.
In your case, you might take pictures, yeah.
Take pictures to sell to the tabloids.
My Twitter account. Joe Douchebag of the NFL beats his wife, and I get a million hits.
No,
her one is my million.
You're gonna burn in hell for that one.
Yeah.
Well, among other things.
But yeah, so I get that. I get, you know, maybe it's a good thing then to say, don't do this self-destructive, hurtful thing, even though I did it and I got to be Mystique and the Mockingjay and whatever.
Yeah, and also, but for
so it's totally not worth it. I swear to God, don't get skinny and look hot. You could just be one of the biggest personalities in Hollywood.
But for every Jennifer Lawrence, how many thousands wind up in porn? Which I know you
I don't see the backside of that. If you've ever watched porn, there are phenomenally beautiful women in porn. I mean, women that are prettier than like 90% of general television. Mm-hmm. You know, the most beautiful women in porn are probably in Europe fucking a donkey somewhere.
Truth. And giving men totally unreasonable expectations of what real women look
if
like.
If she's going to fuck a donkey, I totally have a shot. You really don't.
No, you really don't.
But no, I mean, the world's full of beautiful people and not beautiful people. And not beautiful people are kind of beautiful. Thank God for the intellectuals. Turning gross into strangely erotic and fascinating. Words.
I was looking at something, and it was a picture of a couple of nerds. Somebody had commented about virginity. And it's like, you obviously don't know nerds. Nerds actually get laid quite a bit because nerds are freaky. Like the SCA. I heard many a tale about the SCA.
Yeah, CJ can probably repeat a few of those. Narrate.
I won't hear, but yeah, there's a... Yeah, the less fortunate ones of us out there are getting freaky with it in real life.
Band nerds.
Band
this
nerds.
One time at band camp?
Yeah, I don't know. Flag team, right? Drill team girls?
Yep.
Flag girls. Corps. The drum line. Yeah, drum corps or whatever, I guess. I guess drum corps has a following.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and it's not just from those movies. My wife's big into drum corps.
Oh, I remember how cool that, you know, and back in the 80s, you know, the drummers would come through.
And no, I was there. It wasn't really cool. I don't know
what
school
it was.
Mm.
I mean, I wasn't going to follow. I wasn't going to.
No, it's like that phrase or that saying. It's like, you know, if you don't know any crazy people,
then you're the crazy one.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if you think the drum corps is cool,
you're probably in drum corps.
Or you don't know what cool is. So. Yeah. Well, if you get to do the teenage years all over again, drum corps, not cool.
I was in theater.
Yeah, I had friends in theater. I did.
I was a stage manager, or I did makeup, you know.
Oh.
I wasn't on stage.
Well, this should be right up your alley then. What's going on here? I'm going to need Jack to whip you into shape so that you can make sure I stay on task.
Oh, it's just getting my ass out of the house to drive across town.
Baby steps. Yeah. You're making progress.
I'm one of those people. It's hard to get me out of the house, but yeah, once that large, that loud sucking sound, you know, stuff, I'm okay. You know, I don't want to go someplace, but once I'm there, I'm fine.
Same sound you make when the dildo comes out. Where was it in? You don't want to know.
Don't ask questions you don't want to hear the answer to.
I need project managers. My problem, you know, the problem is I'm trying to do everything and work.
Right.
I don't want to feel, I'm not trying to feel sorry for myself. I'm saying I am coming up far short of my own expectations.
I think once you can get to a point where there's some clear goals, and I think for there to be some clear goals, I think that there needs to be a little move forward.
Mm-hmm.
That where it's other people moving forward, not just you getting one more puppet built.
Right.
It's, you know, it is there, you know, there's,
as a group, we can do flats. As a group, we can do flats.
Right now, there is one very tangible, clear goal. It's build four flats.
Mm-hmm.
That's three simple words. Build four flats.
And are you just talking, I mean, and are we just talking about building the frame and getting it stretched?
A frame and a sheet of drywall. That's just building it. You can paint.
You're going to do drywall. You're not going to stretch.
It's so much cheaper than canvas. Canvas is expensive. A piece of drywall is $10. That much canvas is a lot more than that.
Okay. Well, I guess if you've got a permanent place, then you don't need to move them.
Right. They're going to go against the wall when they're not going to be used. We're going to have foots that they're going to be breakdown. They'll break down flats with feet and weights. Which is just sandbags we can get from Harbor Freight. So the nuts and bolts, you know, building a flat with detachable feet, weights to go on them to hold them in place so they don't fall forward, because the flat's got to stand straight up, you know. In front of that, because we're all going to be acting high with the puppets, you know, sitting, maybe standing.
So you want... You're going to want them at least...
Yeah, we're going to want the ground level to be roughly where our table is here, or maybe a little higher. So when we have the modular woods setting, because mm-hmm. we're going to make tables on wheels holding up like the Sterlite containers that we can fill with dirt and rocks. We're going to put branches and tree trunks in those. And we're going to number each one of those 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then different scenes, you're going to shift those. So we can write down, in this scene...
I would even think a big piece of carpet here on the floor. One, you're not making as much noise moving things around.
Oh, right, yeah.
Two, everybody's going to be sitting on the ground.
And carpet absorbs sound. We're going to need a lot more sound absorbing around here.
Since it doesn't matter what it looks like, you can find a big old piece of...
Yeah, yeah. You could take some
remnant, but I would get like the really low pile. Kind
so
of industrial.
Wheels can move across it, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So we'll have that, and then we'll have foreground stuff. But that's all practically inconsequential. The foreground stuff.
So the whole set until you get to Malarkey, the whole set is just outside, right? No caves, no. Well, didn't you?
There's an underground interior.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tree interior.
Now, are you going to anthropomorphize them and, like, have the interior of the cave look anything but like the interior of a cave, or are you going to make it look like... So it's just going to be...
Right. We're not...
It's not going to be a Trix Potter inside the cave or anything.
Yeah, there's no tables teapot and framed pictures. That's ridiculous. These are rabbits.
Just making sure.
Because that's the whole thing. I mean, we get back to the story of this. This is... We kind of go like, this is possible in our world. That's why I don't want to show human beings mm-hmm. in it. You know, these animals exist in our world. These guys are a result of, you were listening probably to the podcast where I talk about the Louis Lestat and...
Right, and then we talked about the Vampire Diaries where they, I just watched the one where they, Stefan, no, which one? I always get him, Stefan, no, Stefan's the good one.
Damon
makes a joke about Stefan feeding on bunnies.
Yeah. So that's the deal. I mean, I want the viewer to entertain the thought that these could seriously exist, and if they went to the cursed woods,
in a world where there's vampires,
this
might be a side effect.
Right, right. Who's to say? Right, me. I say it.
It's your world you've created.
In a world where there's vampires, there's vampire bunnies. And they don't talk to humans. I mean, they don't speak English. They speak bunny. They speak animal. They speak critter, whatever we want to call it. Except for the witches, they speak to humans. Because that's their witch power, the familiars. You know, not one of them goes around and pours a cup of tea.
Okay, just making sure.
Earl Grey, extra hot. Let me tuck myself into my bed. Well, I have not seen a bunny factory making teapots.
Just trying to get a clearer picture.
Right, right. I mean, they're pretty anthropomorphized with the whole walking around and talking upright. It's a little bit ridiculous, too. But, you know, we're going with that because we can digest that.
But we're not going with the Mrs. Frisbee and the bunnies of Nim.
No. No, and we're not going for comedic effect. The whole idea of this being funny is that it exists. You know, it's odd in itself. It's a peculiar kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There's no jokes. Being a vampire is serious business. It's romantic, you know, because Klaus doesn't just venture off into the sunlight because he wants to protect his loved ones from not only himself, but the mistake that he made when he created Desmond. So no, we're not going to have to build
a whole cave
and decorate it.
Oh, decorate.
Right. And that's the deal. We're not. We're going to have a cave, an underground hole for Klaus, and they'll have underground holes. And we're going to have a tree. What do they call those?
Like a trunks?
Like
a stump. Or it's like where you go into the roots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A burrow.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, all that is just so it doesn't have to look. We don't have to decorate it.
Okay.
So the natural look when we slap on the movie mud and the set, you know, as long as we get the painting right, that'll be great. You know, one looks one way, one looks the other. We assign them numbers to the setting, and then the lights for particular scenes. You know, which is nice because in the interior scenes you have a set lights. And it's always going to be that way because it's interior. But in the exterior scenes, we'll have to...
I think it's time of day.
We'll have to change it, yeah, for the time of day. Because even though...
Or time of night.
Yeah, even though they're in the cursed woods with a good canopy, there's going to be kind of where you can sense it's lighter out. And then night is night. Mm-hmm. So that's... I think it's going to be fast for the sets. You know, there's a couple scenes... where bunnies are dead on the ground, right? So we're going to have to use a tarp, a throw to kind of give that ground effect and still let the bunny interact with the body on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the camera's going to be kind of a little bit down. So it's going to be tricky with the camera and, you know, pretty much making a ground-type ghillie suit to hide wherever we're throwing this at.
Right.
You know, so those are things we need to work up this week, because episode 4 has that exact scene in it, where Klaus is seen over the body of a bunny, right after Desmond has made a kill, and then the witch bunny sees him, and reports back to the others that she's seen Klaus. It's someone in their warren. And he's an evil vampire, and they need to destroy him. So, stuff we're going to work on this week, if we can move after tomorrow's Thanksgiving feast.
You'll text me about Saturday.
We have a day to recover.
Friday, yeah.
Friday to recover, Saturday to accomplish something.
Yeah, Friday I will be building. Friday, amongst my Black Friday shopping. I don't know about you. I don't know if I'm going to get up and go out Black Friday because I used to do this like religiously. I'm very much against camping out, but I'm a wake up at 4:30 and get out by 5 kind of guy. But the last 3 years,
it depends on what you need.
Finances and sanity have stopped me from doing such. So the last 3 years, what I've done is I've gotten up like at 6 or 7 in the morning, go out and grab a cup of coffee, usually with Sarah or something, and then like cruise by the stores in the front to see like all the craziness going on.
So now Black Friday is more of a spectator sport.
Yeah, it's actually funny that way. Oh, and tomorrow, I mean, some people are lining up the stores tonight, you know, so tonight and tomorrow, I'm just going to be like, we should go look at stuff.
There are idiots that have been lined up in front of Best Buy for a week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I had a great idea a few years ago, and I think we should do it. If you got what it takes to get out there and do it, is you buy a case of water bottles and some snacks and stuff, and wherever people are camping, you go and like a barker, you put it out there and you sell it. Water, water, water. Got your water, $3. You know, you
take an urn of something hot.
Still, you know, you can totally make money, and a lot of it. I bet you could make $3. I bet you can get a case of water and walk out with $100, you know, provided you don't get mugged. You know.
Yeah, you probably don't want to try it in front of Walmart.
No, actually,
Walmart's gotten smart about that. A couple years ago, I went to go buy more wine, and what they did is because they weren't closing, because they're a grocery store too.
Yeah, they have lines internally.
So whatever you want,
you can get in line for.
You get in line for, which is after an employee got killed a couple years ago.
The Stampede one.
Yeah. They had to come up with.
Yeah, man. How? What a horrible end! What a horrible end! You're stuck working at Walmart on Black Friday, which is really Thanksgiving night, and then you die there.
Being trampled to death by Walmart shoppers.
Oh, that's got to be the worst. I hope they gave that family like $10 million. Cause
no.
That's awful. That is so awful. Not bad enough that I worked at Walmart, but I got killed here. I didn't know these cows could run so fast. But yeah, so Black Friday for me is probably going to be online shopping, because man, a lot of the places are going to be matching prices. There's really great online deals. I'll probably buy way too many Blu-rays for myself.
Oh, I know, because Walmart has a bunch of stuff on sale.
Yeah, it's a great time to buy Blu-rays. I love to buy Blu-rays because I like to listen to the commentary, and when you get the people talking about, you know, the behind the scenes, that's great. You know,
it's inspiring.
Yeah, it really is for me.
Because it's about process.
Yeah. I just love that so much. So, again, the whole reason we're doing this is because maybe somebody can be out there and say, Jesus Christ, this is about episode 12. The fucker hasn't done a single fucking video.
Email him. Tell him, stop talking, start filming.
Tell him you want pictures of progress.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to get the pictures to you. Yeah. They're on my phone that I got the other phone that went bad that I've tried to juice up. It only holds a charge for like 15 minutes. I got to get fully charged up and they get all the pictures off of it.
You know, it sounds like an excuse my friend's 13-year-old daughter says, you know, oh, yeah, that's on my phone and it's broken. And a friend of mine at school did this, and well, that's why I can't do this, obviously.
Well, I'll get that phone hooked up, and I'll upload those to an account that I'll give you access to.
Okay.
So we can break those down, and you can see the pictures of the various snouts. I think I got pictures of like the six different snouts.
That's definitely going to drive traffic to the site.
Snouts, bunny snouts. Bunny snouts, driving traffic. Straight to nowhere.
Make sure you really keyword that, so if anybody does a Google search of snouts, that brings them.
Bunny snout. The popularity of bunny snouts. Bunny snouts means traffic.
Trending. It's trending.
Yeah. Yes, marketers all across India are jumping on the bunny snout trend. I don't know what it means, but Americans seem to like it. Was that an Indian accent? That was horrible. They don't have Thanksgiving tomorrow, so they'll be doing something.
Canadians, too. They already had their Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Okay. Happy Thanksgiving, dude.
They have it in October.
Oh, yeah. So we call that Halloween.
No, they have even before Halloween.
Do they have Halloween?
Yes.
That's the most fattening month in the Canadian calendar. We have Thanksgiving and Halloween in the same month.
Well, within a 30-day period.
Man, so those poor kids, you know, they buy the costume in September and then they eat themselves out of it because of the Thanksgiving, and they have to go as a hobo or something for Halloween because your cool costume don't fit. I started off as Lady Gaga and I ended up as Melissa McCarthy. Oh, yeah. Hashtag too many donuts because that's what they give in Canada on Halloween.
Right? Tom Horton's donut.
Here's a maple for you, eh? Love that Lady Gaga outfit.
Here's a crawler.
Don't put this one on your nipple. Okay.
Hold on that note.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, both of you. I'm CJ Watson.
I'm Beth Stammons.
And I'm Jack Fisher.